Let's start with a chat with a fellow who's a legend in his own right, an outstanding contributor across media landscape for the last 40 years in this country.
Former boss of mine.
Oh, there you go.
He was a sports editor of Sunday Telly for a while. And
he's been awarded the Order of Australia Medal. It's a fantastic honour on yesterday's Australia Day honours list. To go through his career and the highs and lows, we thought we'd have a chat with Grant Lee Kaiser, who joins us on the line. G'day, Grant Lee.
Good morning, lads. Thanks very much for having me on the program. Really appreciate it.
No, we're looking forward to having a chat. We ask the same of our sporting people when they're players, but what about yourself? How did you have a playing career? How did journalism and writing about sport become part of your life, Grantley?
Yeah, well, I was actually training in boxing at a gym in Brisbane for a while, and I was contributing to boxing magazines actually even before I started on the newspaper. The first paper I started was Brisbane Telegraph back in 1980, and I used to get along to Festival Hall, and I was sort of under the mentorship of the great old promoter up here, Reg Layton, who was a legendary hard man in Queensland. He trained a lot of famous boxers, including guys like Hector Thompson and Steve Axel. And so I was a regular at Festival Hall there from about the time when I was 17, covering the big fights there. And after a couple of years up in Brisbane, I went down to Sydney and I started training and boxing at the Newtown Police Youth Club, which was a little police boys club beside the train tracks at Erskineville. It was run by a guy called a young sign writer called Johnny Lewis, who had a lot of hair in those days and a beard from memory. And Johnny had a team of young amateur boxers. One of them was a kid called Jeff Fennett. I started writing about Jeff, just his amateur career, and Johnny and I got on really well, and Johnny sort of made me his right-hand man at the gym, with helping with the boys, and I became his corner man. And through that association, my coverage of boxing sort of was enhanced a great deal because I was getting on to all these big fights and getting the bird's eye view and from very much the inside story. And so it sort of mushroomed from there. But I guess from the earliest days, Muhammad Ali was an enormous influence on me as a child. I remember his comeback victories and his great win over George Foreman in the Rumble in the Jungle. I was only about 12 years old at the time, and to me that was almost like a fairy tale. It was a modern fable, and I was so intrigued by that I sort of got hooked on the sport. And as far as the history of the sport was concerned, my grandmother gave me a great book. It was a big Reader's Digest copy book when I was a very, very small boy, and it was called Australia's Yesterdays, and it was just full of all these great photos of Australian history, right from the earliest days to the present time. And one of the photos that really intrigued me was a photograph from Sydney Stadium on Boxing Day 1908. It was the big giant American Jack Johnson It was for the World Heavyweight Championship, the first time a black man had been allowed to fight for the World Heavyweight Championship, and it was in Sydney. And just the colourful stories of that fight and the extreme racism that was hurled at Jack Johnson, and it just harked back to very much a bygone time, and I was intrigued by the whole history around it. And I guess that's what got hooked me on the history of boxing, and I've been covering it ever since.
Yeah, I can understand, Grantley, and knowing you for many years, your love of the sport. Can you take us back to those halcyon days of Fennec, of Harding, and we mentioned earlier particularly the famous draw between Fennec and Nelson in America. I know you were there. Everyone back home thought Fennec had won. I know Fennec was devastated. Did a piece of Jeff Fennec, in terms of his invincibility, sort of die or evaporate that day?
Oh, I think it did. I think it was so heartbreaking for him. He'd worked so hard in that fight, and he'd come back so strong. Azuma was probably very slick early on, but Jeff finished all over the top of him, and I think really a piece of him did evaporate that night in the Vegas heat.
Never the same fighter afterwards, was he, Grantley?
He was never really quite the same fighter. And he managed to win a few more fights after that, but of course Azuma beat him when they had a return fight in probably one of the most anticipated fights ever in Australia down in Melbourne. He just wasn't the same fighter going into that bout, and he was never the same again. But gee, in his heyday, he was like a meteorite, you know, shining for very, very briefly on the boxing landscape. He probably peaked for about 2 or 3 years, and in those 2 or 3 years, he really was, to me, he was invincible. And he'd won all his fights, and he'd become the first guy to win 3 world championships while undefeated. The guys he just steamrolled, you know, he steamrolled great fighters like Carlos Zarate and all these top guys, Marcos Bilisana, you know, Mario Martinez, all who were really, really top fighters on the world stage. And Jeff didn't just beat them in close decisions. He annihilated them. You know, most of the guys that he fought, Daniel Zaragoza was another one. We went over to Perth. Daniel Zaragoza, you know, is a great, great champion from Mexico. And Jeff just hammered him, just battered him every round. You know, and he really was a dominant figure on world boxing. Two or three years. You know, guys like Mike Tyson would say that Jeff Fenwick was his favourite fighter. You know, that gives you an idea of just how great he was. But I was very lucky through the association with Jeff and Johnny. That really sort of, well, it helped my boxing career enormously. It was the cornerstone of it. I'd say Jeff, Johnny, and a guy called Ray Wheatley, who was vice president of the IBF for a long time from Sydney's Western Suburbs. I'd say those three guys taught me everything that I know about boxing. And it was through them that I was able to get an entree to all these big fights around the world through involved with Kostya Zou, and then Joe Bugner's corner when he fought Frank Bruno.
Wow.
In London, you know, 40,000 people there and all the Hollywood celebrities at ringside. There was just an enormous night. Joe, what you ever meet, you know, he's very much an unsung. He lived anonymously in Brisbane for about the last 10 or 15 years, but he gave Muhammad Ali two very absolute toe-to-toe war with Joe Frazier 45 years ago. You know, he's a great, great champion, one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. And another guy that I was very closely involved with through Jeff and Johnny was Love Morton Doo,
who
is now a very, very well-known solicitor in Sydney. He's got all sorts of degrees in law, which he, you know, did off his own part-time while he was boxing. But I went with him for the great Canelo Alvarez in Veracruz, Mexico, 1,000 people in a dilapidated old baseball stadium there. And Canelo is regarded these days as the best boxer in the world, pound for pound. He's just beaten Golovkin, who at the time was 39, and Canelo was 20. Lumpur gave him all the rounds, was with him all. Canelo, even though he's rocked all these great fighters, Lovemore was with him all the way. That has to be one of the great nights of boxing that I've been involved in. Through Jeff and Johnny, I've had some remarkable experiences in boxing. Wonderful.
You might have answered it already. Best boxer you've seen, either in their corner or not?
I'd have to say Jeff Fenwick.
I mean,
the things he did, and Johnny would agree with that. He trained Costa as well, and they were both great, great champions. But the difference was with Jeff. Jeff was fighting at the Olympics after only about 20 amateur fights, and half of those were against kids from police boys clubs. So that gives you an idea of just how good he was. So something like amateur fights in the Soviet system before he went to the Olympics. But Jeff was competing with the best boxers in the world after, you know, he was strong and aggressive and such a great champion. And then when he turned professional, champion after only a handful of professional fights, and he was fighting guys like Zaragoza and Zarate after only about 10 fights. Someone like Zarate had, at the peak of his career, 60 professional fights for 58 knockouts. You know, that was the kind of guys fighting, and he was just
monstering.
So he was the best fighter that I've been involved with. But another guy that I must... was Jeff Horn. You know, I've been involved in some big fights, but none topped Jeff Horn against Pacquiao at Suncorp Stadium. I know you guys have covered big events and big football games and great State of Origin things, but the atmosphere that day at Suncorp Stadium, with people all on the ground around the ring in chairs around the ground, I've never seen Suncorp Stadium look like it. Absolutely packed, more than 50,000 people. And Jeff Horn, this nice, humble, quiet, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth kind of guy, nicest kid you could meet, has taken on one of the greatest boxers of all time and won the world championship from him in front of 50,000 people. It was such a dream day that even days later I was thinking to myself, did that really happen? Was that something I imagined? It was just so surreal. It was just an incredible day.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. Hey, Grantly, did you ever get to meet your boyhood idol, Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, I did, but unfortunately by the time I met Muhammad Ali, I met Ali when Jeff Fenwick was training Mike Tyson for Mike's last fight, and Ali's daughter, Layla Ali, was fighting on the undercard.
Yes.
And Ali came there. He was actually with his wife and also one of his ex-wives, who was Layla's mother. And so Muhammad was in the dressing room, but by that stage, Muhammad was he was really well gone. The Parkinson's really had had taken a bad effect on him. His the colour of his skin was like grey and a very a wan looking colour, and his hair was thinning out, and he had this really vacant look in his eyes. So I really couldn't converse with him. He was well past it, but just to be in his presence, he had this incredible aura around him. You couldn't just help but think back to the days when he was the most charismatic and the most beautiful athlete probably of all time.
Phenomenal.
Grantley, I know what it's like to be his underling. What's it like to be the boss of Ray Thomas?
Very difficult. I tried to get rid of him. Very kind of Ray. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy and an absolute credit to the sport that he covers and sport in general. He's just a great guy on the Sydney media landscape. Yeah, wonderful man.
No, well, Grantley, when I heard yesterday you got this award, I thought no more thoroughly deserved. Congratulations, mate. It's a tremendous honour for you, but you've covered that boxing with real passion, and anyone who reads your words would understand that. Congratulations, mate. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.
And enjoy your Australia Day long weekend with, is it an OAM?
OAM,
yeah. That's the one, yeah.
Congratulations, Grantley.
Good on you, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.